Welcome to another chat on Awakenings, Chapter 11, Stop the Delusion, Tricks of the Mind. It starts with, one can never truly see until they let go of what they think true seeing is. So this is about projection, really, essentially. When you think you know what's what, and especially on the spiritual journey, you're going to be challenged. The bottom line is, the way I see it, if you are suffering and you think you know what's what, you will continue to suffer. That's the bottom line. So I feel we're all very, very intuitive, and we get a sense of certain things. But to think that we know it exactly is absolutely not true if we are suffering, if we do suffer, because there's something out of alignment. When you have integrity with yourself and you're going with your intuition and you have deep understanding, the suffering ceases. And then other areas where you need to dig deeper, there's a misunderstanding. Misunderstandings create conflict within the psyche. Conflict creates dis-ease within, which can ultimately ripple out and become dis-ease. So it's about letting go. So once again, it says one can never truly see until they let go of what they think true seeing is. So ultimately, it's not to overcomplicate things, but it's about being open to possibility. And
kind of unlearning, isn't it? Deprogramming yourself.
Yeah.
Unlearn what you have learned and then relearn the new stuff.
Yeah. And to relearn, you're not grasping for more. You might grasp for answers, but it's in letting go that you discover them. It just sounds like a conundrum, but that's how it is. It's like a soft grasp. And I've often said, to grasp something new, you must be prepared to let go of something old. And in a sense, it's like holding onto hot coal that's burning your hand, but you think it gives you something, so you continue to suffer because you think it has value. It's absolutely not true. So, and I've mentioned before about when I was in India, three times in one day, it never really happened like this before, but I was aware enough for something to spark and go, oh, okay. Well, I went to my guru saying, oh, you've discovered something's like this. And then the next time, a few hours later, so it's not, I've just realized it's not like that. It's more like this. And then later on that day, that's not like either of those two. It's like, and I'm like this. I'm going, wow, oh, hang on. Yeah, it's not like anything that I think, really. But I was open enough to let go of what I thought or what I had discovered, even though it was, you know, even a few hours later. I think that's the sentiment to carry.
Yeah.
I really feel that when you have insight, you will become more free for sure. The walls will come down, and enjoy, bathe in that understanding, that insight. Get pumped, get excited about it, but be prepared to let it go in the next moment is my advice. The next sentence, one can never arrive until they let go of what the destination looks like. So it's along the same lines. People will talk about awakening or a sense of awakening, or spiritual teachers speaking about at Nirvana or so, certain places, but they haven't seen it with their own eyes. Now, it's an idea. These ideas can be implanted by reading books or talking to other masters or beings that have discovered that place, but words will always fall short. And depending on who you speak with, and we all do this to varying degrees, depending on who we speak with, we'll express things in a slightly different way. So how we communicate varies. It does for me, in any case, depending on who I'm speaking with, for sure.
Yeah.
So, and when you're trying to unravel or give insight or share in a conversation, and we all do this to varying degrees, of course, what we'll say to one person, we may not say it to the next. So it's not a matter of one size fits all at all. If you're going forward with a preconceived idea on what spirituality looks like or certain stages look like, then the trap is you look for that particular thing and you might have an awakening moment, but it's not quite what you think. And there may be paths that you avoid because it doesn't look right. If you have a preconceived idea of the destination, you may well avoid the paths that will take you into your heart because it doesn't look like it'll lead where you want it to.
Yeah.
Destination isn't a preconceived idea of what you want. It's letting go to what it actually is. And having restrictions or a particular vision or idea, it's fine when it comes to work and certain goals. And we often find that when we reach our goals, it's not exactly what we thought it would be. Maybe the responsibilities or certain things at a particular point isn't quite what you thought it was. And it's different with work because you might get the job and you get it, you work your way into a position, and then you don't realize till you get there that's not what you thought it was, or you get a promotion or you get certain things. So we can associate the meaning or how it is, because we've all felt that, or most of us have, where you finally arrive where you think you want to be and you realize it's not what you thought it was. So definitely in spirituality and going deeper into your heart, I really feel, look at the destination, let it inspire you, but don't think you know what exactly it looks like. And I feel even with a teacher or spiritual teacher, you get people that talk the talk and say they know the way, but they haven't arrived yet, in a sense. So use discernment, be motivated. No one gives you the key into yourself. You have to let go. It's for you and you alone to discover that key to unlocking the doors within yourself. I really feel the sentiment with what I do. It's not to say you must go my way or you must do what I do. The foundation towards spirituality is the same, that being true to yourself, letting go, surrendering, and discovering and unraveling your unique, amazing path. And I like to encourage people to find that for themselves. I like to offer them things along the way that they might like, they might enjoy, they might want to try. And I feel that's important because people don't always know what to try. They don't know what options there are. And for anyone that says, this is the way, this is the best way, this is, well, maybe it is for them, doesn't mean it will be for you. Then in my mind, you're teaching concepts saying this is it. So I understand that my way is unique. And if a lot of people did what I did, went where I went, they probably wouldn't have discovered what I discovered. There could have been more, could have been less, but it was what I needed. So it's about discovering what you need. And I think that's profound. And that then the journey becomes joyous because you're not following in anyone's footsteps. You're making your own and you're feeling your own way and you're discovering what has value for you. And through that course, you find more meaning, a deeper meaning, and you start developing the confidence to start trusting yourself on a deeper level. So pretty deep on the first two sentences, really, isn't it?
Already, yes.
The third sentence. Chapter 11.
We're going sentence.
They're main points, you know, as you see in the book. So they're just worth considering deeply.
Yes.
So the third sentence / paragraph, you could say, one can never truly feel until they drop their idea of what they should and shouldn't feel. That's a big one, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have these ideas and with friendships and have all these ideas in their head and all those three sentences. So I'll read the three of them again. One can never truly see until they let go of what they think true seeing is. One can never arrive until they let go of what the destination looks like. One can never truly feel until they drop their idea of what they should and shouldn't feel. How often throughout our lives do we feel something? I shouldn't be feeling this. We judge ourselves, or we might go along with our friends or with a situation. And when you reflect on these things that we go along with sometimes to seek approval or to be a part of a group, we'll get certain feelings that we think, I shouldn't be feeling this, or I shouldn't be feeling that, or I shouldn't be feeling jealous, or whatever it is. It's because we're not ultimately being true to how we're feeling. And it's not saying we're feeling jealous sometimes, oh, we shouldn't be feeling jealous. Sometimes they're a nice person, you might feel that. Or if you're pursuing some sense of fulfillment and the other, there's another person that you're drawn to, it's natural to feel a bit of jealousy. But I'm not talking about jealousy in particular. But there's reasons behind things, and it's about understanding the reason why you feel things rather than just denying, burying your head in the sand, going along with circumstances or a group of friends because you're seeking approval. And if it doesn't sit with you, it's going to create certain feelings. Or if even sometimes you go along because it feels right, and it can still stir things within. And that may be just a trigger based on your past experiences or your childhood. I don't feel we should ever say I should or shouldn't feel this or that. It's an indicator that there's something to look into within yourself. So there's all these keys, and that's why I really feel that if you have a spiritual teacher, if you're seeking spiritual understanding, it's like a soft focus, because what may work for one and inspire them might bring up stuff for you. And that's not necessarily a bad thing either. If things come up and challenges come up, resistance comes up within you, you may change your course, but at least you get to look and see what's going on within. It sort of sounds complicated to some degree, or may do, but there are ways to actually get in touch with these things, to unravel and discover what's going on in the emotions. And there's many ways, like even kinesiology and different body work. And I do these things as well by healing and energetically feeling what's going on and talking things through and finding out where the resistances are within the psyche of other people. That's my passion, of course. So there are many ways when we're triggered or there's obstacles within, or feelings that we feel that we judge, that feelings that create judgments within ourselves. There's many ways to sift through them, and it takes time. Even, and I've mentioned a number of these things before, but even slowing down. And when you slow down, the voices in your head can become louder. And that's not to be avoided. I strongly feel that a great way through is to write down those voices for what it's telling you as they become louder on a bit of paper or in a diary, even if it's just for you, and start looking at the obstacles or the negativity that the mind's coming up with. And for anyone listening in, if this comes up and you want to write, by all means, send us a message and we'll offer some ideas, ways through, ways into the psyche, and things to consider along the way. So
I was just going to mention that people need to not confuse the feelings with the thoughts either, because I think a lot of it, they may feel it and they may think that that's a thought, but it distinguish between the feeling and the thoughts.
True. And I feel thoughts can promote feelings and feelings can promote thoughts, but they don't always work simultaneously. But the trap people fall into, as you're saying, is if it feels real, it must be real. But a lot of the neural pathways and the way the mind works and the conditioning from a young age, it's so easy to confuse the two and merge them together and then judge yourself. The indications, and if one is suffering, if you're suffering, the indications that there's something in a particular area that needs addressing, there's somewhere to look within, not run from, not turn the other way, turn a blind eye to, but not to avoid yourself because of feelings that you're judging. It's a chance for you to open up and go deeper into yourself. So if you're seeking on the journey to go deeper and find more meaning, you have to unravel. The key is to not add more to yourself, unravel and free yourself the entwined thoughts and entrapments of thinking that you believe automatically without questioning. You have a right to question every thought that doesn't serve you. You absolutely do. Everyone does. And I feel I've mentioned to a number of people that I could say to them, you know, I think you're amazing. Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah. I think you're stupid. They go, oh, my God. My God. And there's a reaction. What if he's right? What if this? What if that? And yeah, it's amazing how a lot of really nice people, humble people, can easily fall into negativity. And they don't question it, but they'll question the positive aspects. I don't agree with that at all. And definitely I've been saying all the way through, you have a right to question every thought, every single thought that doesn't serve you. Don't just deny it, see through it. And you can learn, discover, and unravel that process through a number of different avenues. One of those avenues is through what we do. Oh, I should have said this at the start, but yeah, just for those listening in, my book made the finals of Book Excellence Awards. So it's made the finals of two competitions.
Yay!
So, yeah. So, well, thank you for Book Excellence Awards. And if you haven't gone out and got one, go and get one right now. Put this recording on pause and go and get one.
It's worth it.
Yeah, exactly. I want you to come back.
Oh,
I'll wait. You order online. Sorry. Whatever you want.
Cue the elevator music. And we're back.
Okay, welcome back. All right. As I've mentioned, this goes into the fourth paragraph, which is the actual first proper paragraph in chapter 11. All falsities. Sorry?
This is going to be a long chapter, isn't it?
Oh, no. I know. Well, I'm just, yeah, I know. It's probably going to be. Yeah. I have questions for you to consider. Maybe we should just go to that.
Sentence four.
Oh, no. I probably shouldn't say. Oh, okay. First proper chapter.
Oh, that was funny. Sorry.
Yeah. But it's all the key things, which is basically everything I've written. Just in books, I've only put the key things in here. So what do you do anyway? All false ideas point to something being misunderstood within you. Forget blaming others. This is nothing more than a distraction, a trick of your mind to stop you going deeper. So I'll skip a sentence here and there. Doubting your heart and self-worth minimizes your capability. I'm going to paraphrase some of this, so otherwise you can get the paper, you can write my book out. Yep.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. What's the point of buying the book? You're reading it.
Yeah, well, in saying that, I've spoken for about 40 minutes on about two pages of a chapter to get points on the example. Yeah. So I'll try not to. I'm not going to read everything, but
yeah, it's just teasing. Sorry.
I know. It's just like, oh, this next point's carries on from the point above that, but obviously that's the point. That's why I wrote the book.
There's an epiphany. Anyway.
Yeah. Amazing. It just seems to flow.
Funny that.
These are sort of tricks of the mind, comes under the chapter, Stop the Delusion, Tricks of the Mind. Doubting your heart and self-worth minimizes your capacity for understanding, because then your intuition and that intuition that guides you through, if you doubt that, there is no way through. And then you get lost in the entrapments of mind, the negative thoughts. This process of doubting yourself reveals conditioning, unresolved pain and fear, because fears are at the center of this. Fear is at the core of the misunderstanding and doubting yourself. So letting or allowing your walls to come down and allowing the process and looking to unravel the process integrates understanding, offering a newfound freedom and deeper access to yourself and others. So as you gain deeper access into yourself, you understand others more so. It becomes more obvious how they are, how they carry themselves, how much in touch with themselves they are. Each time this happens, it causes a change within your realm of experience, which on some level is an awakening. So we're living in the spiritual path is to have as many awakening moments as you can and unravel yourself, go deeper and allow walls to come down. It's amazing. I've had some conversations with people recently where we've spoken about the inner child, and the inner child can get put into a room. It's like we barricade the inner child because it was possibly abused or went through suffering from a young age. So then you barricade, put walls around it, you put in darkness, you blame others for putting that child there, the inner child. This is the innocence within you. And to picture this, you see yourself, if you can imagine yourself as a 18-month-old, 2-year-old, just innocent, completely innocent. And, well, let's hope. But, there's been abuse in certain things, but if a child's been abused on different levels from a very young age, the child's still innocent, doesn't know any better, is seeking understanding. And we're all innocent. We all have that innocence within. And this is I see it, how I feel it. It's the divine aspect. So instead of barricading that child, when you get older and you take embark on the spiritual journey, it's about getting access to the inner child and instead of getting that child where we're blaming possibly our parents or our external sources for putting that child in that dark space and barricading it in, and then hoping to heal from your parents or from others, and they don't even know that you're still suffering, or they might have, you may have nothing to do with them now. It's about unraveling and getting access to the inner child ourselves. If no one loved that inner child, the innocence within you, you must, through spiritual awareness and all practices, meditation, that sort of thing. The whole point is to get to that inner child that's wounded as quick as possible. Pull down the walls, get that inner child, save it from the darkness. And in saying that, that inner child is the divine aspect. And I don't believe it can be destroyed. It's waiting for you. It's waiting to merge and as you become whole again. So we think we need to protect this child, yet we, in a sense, starve it because we don't feed it, we don't acknowledge it, we don't nurture it, which is the inner child, which is ourselves. We're not fulfilling our needs necessarily. We're not nurturing ourselves on a deep soul level. And this is the stuff I'm talking about, the soul level, the deep healing, the deep connection. As you do that, you merge more and more the inner child, and the innocence from a child merges with the adult being now. And then you become more childlike, you become more free, less burdened. So the great news is you don't need to lock this child in a room anymore. You need to get access to it and forgive this innocent child and in so forgive yourself. And it sounds like might sound arduous, but it's the only way. And you don't have to smash down the walls. You slowly bring them down in a pace that you can handle. And this is spiritual awareness. This is spiritual teaching. This is self-help. So this is what I've written about, obviously the whole point of this, of my book. All experiences give you an opportunity to grow, digest information, discover and express. You must learn to enjoy the process and remember where it leads, which is into your heart, into a softening and a deeper understanding and acceptance of self. That's really what it comes down to. I'm just going to get slight, small extracts from some of the paragraphs. So embrace your personality, but go beyond it. Based on our experiences, we all have differing character traits. There are no excuses for behaving indiscriminately. Stop your search at certain stereotypes, which we all have. This is nowhere near deep enough. Now, with looking at star signs or certain stereotypes, there's a number of ways you can do this to find out more about your character. Myers-Briggs, all sorts of tests to assess your character. And that's fantastic. It can give you a sense of yourself and how you are. And it's amazing how we all want to believe we are a certain way. And we'll deny certain tendencies that might, you could say, that might steer us off the path. It's not about ignoring and pretending and being how we want to be exactly. We must accept our tendencies, our character. And I've spoken about this before, where if you have an addictive personality, for example, or you may fall victim to addictions, whether it's drinking or whatever it might be, if you, instead of going, no, I don't want to be like that, if you, for example, focus on training or exercise, after a month or two, I'd say within a month, usually takes 21 days typically to accept a new idea. If you just took a bit of a gamble and invest in yourself and train and do exercise, that addictive personality can focus you into, that addictive nature or way can get you fully drawn into health and well-being. It's not about at all denying how you are. It's about realizing how you are. And by accepting and seeing your tendencies, you can navigate your way deeper into yourself. So it's a trick to hack yourself for something greater rather than fall victim through your certain character traits. And even with certain star signs and, I fall into this or do this or do that. It's like, well, the best aspect of every star sign and every character, every stereotype is amazing. And it's about discovering how amazing you are by accepting yourself. And I wrote myself notes because I know something comes up and I don't tend to hold on to things much. So I write notes so I can remember. I don't have a mind like a steel trap in a sense. And spirituality just speaks from the heart. There's nothing you need to memorize for that, so that's easy.
But I think even something as simple as, when you speak to people and if you have depression or whatever, and stop classifying you and labeling yourself as, I have depression. As simple as just leaving some of those labels behind can start making a change because you're not identifying as that anymore. It's not part of who you are.
Yep, you are 100% right. The more you identify with, the greater you suffer. Full stop. That is it. because when you identify, I'm more of this, less of that. And identifying is make things more dual. It's duality becomes greater the more you identify with. And there's just oneness. It's like a dream, in a sense. Let's say I have a dream and you see the whole dream, you're the whole experience. You're soaking up the whole experience. And the way I see it, identifying is taking things personal, for one, but what part of the dream are you not? You are the whole dream. So to say, I experienced the whole dream, but I disregard this part of the dream. And when people tell me their dreams, my response is often, okay, what did it mean to you? In what way does it resonate? If someone said, oh, I resonate with this part of the dream, or it's only this part or that part, then you're taking away the full flavor. I'd rather say, well, the whole experience of the whole dream, what does that mean to you? And that's far more fulfilling, far more encompassing. So that's probably the best analogy, I feel, that learn to experience everything you have access to without pushing things away. You know, you'll have your preferences, we all do to some degree, but everywhere it comes to masculine, feminine, I'm more feminine in general in how I come across. And I like that because it's a softer approach. It's very nurturing, and the world needs nurturing big time. Doesn't mean I can't roar like a lion, but I prefer to be soft and gentle and supportive and nurturing of others. And you know, the masculine is the drive forward and getting things done. But that's not defining a man or a woman, because we're the balance of all those things. And it could be controversial for some. This might get censored.
Ooh.
But we are whole. And I would not want to have one without the other. And you can't anyway. So it's accepting the experience. This is very deep, but all we can say is beings, because it's all illusion. I can say that because it's all energy moving. Nothing solid in the universe. It's just different densities of energy vibrating. So the only thing I can conclusively say is this being is experiencing. That is it. Experiencing through my eyes, my senses, everything. Feel a vibration of things around me, within me, everywhere, my body, everything. Why would I want to push anything away or identify with anything in particular? The more whole I am, the more I can feel balance of everything. Everything harmonizes when you just let go. And where things aren't in harmony is when you can't accept things or refuse to see things or refuse to acknowledge things. Letting go is the greatest way toward freedom and understanding yourself. So, yeah, I'm not a fan of, and I get that when people want to identify with things, it can give them a sense of belonging to a certain group or belonging to this or belonging to that. But the way I see it, you belong to this race, the human race or this planet. You belong here because you are here. And it's pretty profound, but if you didn't belong here, you would not be here. So it's about coming to a place where you accept yourself, the fact that you're here. And yeah, there certainly will be challenges, but you earn the right to go deeper. And that's a beautiful thing, that as you do the work, walls come down and you earn the right to be free. And it's not about accomplishing certain jobs or getting the promotion. You earn the right by being true to yourself. That is it. That's how you earn the right. That's how you become valuable. That's how you value yourself. Is by being true to yourself. You honor yourself when you're true. And this is a major trick of the mind, is that there's many tricks. It will trick you every step of the way if you allow it. And holistic, whole, all-inclusive does not mean at all that we accept things that's detrimental to us or that's abusive. It doesn't mean that. It means work within this dream, this realm, to become more whole and more accepting of yourself. And in that, and as you become more accepting, you will judge or condemn people's actions, but you never condemn the person. And in saying that, there's some pretty some very dark people on this planet. My belief, karma always plays out. But the darker the person's actions, the more lost they are. Because no one in their heart will do dark things, no one. And we'll be tested every step of the way, and that's a brilliant thing. Things fall away truly within the psyche, and we gain more access to ourselves when we truly let go and walls come down. We cannot pretend. We cannot fool ourselves. People try to, but you can pretend all you like, but within you know if it's real or not. And obviously this book is about getting in touch with that and giving permission to go deeper into yourself. So there's many examples. I'm not going to read every paragraph. So don't get caught in stereotypes. See yourself as the whole experience. You are all that you experience. It is so amazing. It's so profound. So it's my experience that life will give you what you need, not necessarily what you think you need, unless there is a lesson in it for you. All things, good or bad, may reveal aspects of yourself to take you deeper, work through, or loosen your grip from. There is nothing we need to hold together in our surroundings. This is only ever an illusion. So it's allowing everything to flow around you. This is absolutely true freedom. A sign of trying to do the impossible and hold things together around you is when you're thinking or talking about it, breath becomes short or shallow. On some level, you're trying to control or restrict your environment for your happiness. Obviously, controls are in place. Even though you may tell yourself it is for the happiness or benefits of another, if you tune into this energetic flow, you will realize that you are actually restricting the flow of your heart and the people around you as they modify, restrict their way in your presence. We have all felt these confines in the company of certain friends, where you might offer information, and if you're trying to help someone, you might have a little energetic ball in your solar plexus that feels like it, or you might hold your breath a bit because you're hoping they utilize the information in a way that you feel best serves them. And it may be true, but you have to let go and let them absorb it in the way that they can utilize it. And they won't always get it right, but that's part of their learning. There's so many things in this chapter, I'm not going to go through it all.
Go down to the questions for people to consider at the end, maybe.
Yeah. And I've only on the second page, and so I'm on the first full page. So,
yep.
Oh, there's some good stuff in here. Why go through it? Yes. You're going to have to get the book. But it obviously gives an overview, but you get a sense from what we're saying. I'll just expand and give more examples on this, and supports and encourages ways of thinking and things to consider in seeing through the mind. In this chapter, I have questions for you to consider. So keep it real. Most truths are not real at all, being based on one's own perspective, relative truths. Often people will say, they'll say things that's not true, and they go, well, this is my truth. It's not my truth and your truth. I'd rather talk about ultimate truth. That's another point. Sorry, just briefly go over this. To me, ultimate truths are truths that are always real, not based on a circumstance. So to explain misunderstandings are the cause of our pain and suffering. That's an absolute truth. Circumstances are circumstances. So instead of saying this is the truth, you say you're better off saying I feel this and this, and you can understand, I can understand how you'd feel that based on what you're sharing, but it may not be the truth of the whole situation. So don't confuse, I recommend you do not confuse how you feel with truth. They may be linked, but they're not necessarily linked automatic just because you feel it. From the outside looking in, it's easy to formulate of your opinion to justify what we think or feel. Most befriend those whom support their mistaken views or are caught in the same trap. As our understanding or viewpoint changes, so do our friends, or at least the way we communicate with each other does. Often, if another's understanding or maturity falls too much out of sync with our own growth, the friendship falls away completely. We want our people like that. It becomes obvious both needs are different and are not being met. I have a question for you. This leads into four questions to consider. Do you believe your viewpoint or understanding has always been the most correct? Number two, throughout your life in conversing with a friend, have you mostly believed you were right and they were wrong? Third question, how often have you been frustrated because you feel you have not been understood or taken seriously? The fourth, how often has your viewpoint changed over the years? As you have matured and your understanding has grown, so has your views. Therefore, at what point have you spoken or known the absolute truth? These truths are only relative to a perspective. They are not real. I know they feel real, but it's only because we have vested interest in the outcome. Whether it's for approval or self-gain, people on both sides of any situation have their own relative truths, and both feel just as real and can be justified by each person involved. And understanding these points, you can actually support two friends with opposing views in a disagreement, and you can remain neutral. So it goes on a bit more, a little bit more on examples, and it's fantastic. You should read the book. So I think it's worth considering, and we've given examples in any case, but there's just a couple more pages from that.
Yep.
It leads to the next chapter, chapter 12, is negativity breaking the cycle. So, yeah, stop the delusion tricks of the mind, chapter 11, which we've just spoken about. So it's identifying the tricks of the mind, and there's many. You could write a massive book on that if you wanted to get specific. So that leads into chapter 12, negativity breaking the cycle, and in that gives you a number of points, just for the heads up, on ways to actually start breaking the cycle of negativity within your thoughts, thought processes. So amazing how it does that. The whole point is to obviously help you break through and work through your suffering mind. So stay tuned for chapter 12, negativity breaking the cycle. So thank you for listening in. Sorry, we've been preoccupied with things. We are going to do, I know I've said this, but we're definitely going to do more regular recordings. We actually have to move soon. So I have to move soon, but we'll continue the recordings. Definitely, it's not going anywhere. So thanks for listening in, everyone, and we look forward to the next one. Bye for now.